This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Yes, sirree. Once again, welcome to another great show. I am your man, DJ Big Stu, in the building. This is Late Night with DJ Big Stu. I got my guest in the building, the author of the book, Soaring Above Co-Addiction. We have Miss Lisa Espich in the building. Miss Lisa Espich, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Big Stu. Thanks.
Now, you know, your book is kind of interesting. First of all, I want to ask you where you're from.
I am from Tucson, Arizona.
Okay. And what made you write this book?
Well, my husband was addicted to drugs for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And throughout our marriage, we struggled through that, through our entire marriage. And when he did get clean, I really felt it was important to share the steps that not only I took as a wife that helped to help to bring him to recovery, but also for other families to be able to learn that they can make a difference. And I felt it was really important that people know that, because so many times you just hear the tragedies, and you don't always hear that there is hope and there is help, and that people do get clean and go on to live productive lives. And so that was my purpose in writing it.
Now, what made you stay so long? Like, a lot of people, like you said, would have gave up. You know, what made you stick in there and stay so long?
Well, I think a lot of it at first was the feeling of being trapped. When I first got married to my husband, we had our son in our first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. And the decision was made by us. My husband was making good money for his age and enough money that I was able to stay home and take care of our son. And that really led to a lot of years of, even though it was, when I think back, it's some of the most wonderful years of my life. I loved being home with my son and being a full-time mother. At the same time, I also formed some dependency patterns where I really didn't feel like I could make it on my own, and there was a feeling of being trapped. Once I realized my husband was an addict, I didn't know where to go or where to turn, because I hadn't been working, I didn't have my own income, and I felt very dependent on my husband. And I think that's where a lot of my own patterns of enabling and being codependent came in, because I felt trapped. And I think a big part of it, of why I stayed so long, was those negative patterns that formed.
Okay. Now, you know, a lot of times when people be with drug, any drug addiction, especially like either a cocaine or a crack addiction, those addictions make people kind of abusive. Did you experience a lot of abusive situations through those years?
You know, my husband really wasn't abusive physically. Now, certainly throughout the years there was, I feel, a lot of mental abuse, probably on both our parts. When he was addicted to crack cocaine, and that was his major addiction for most of our marriage. I mean, it started out as cocaine and grew into crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was high, he was very paranoid, very, I didn't even ever understand what kept drawing him to this drug, because he certainly didn't seem to enjoy it. He just really turned into a paranoid mess. And when he would get high, I actually was the one who would be belittling him and, why are you doing this? And, and so there was a back and forth. When he would come down from being high, he would get angry, but never physically abusive. But there was a lot of unhealthy mental abuse, I think, going both ways. I, of course, was very frustrated being with somebody who was addicted and not understanding. And he would go through his lows where he, was craving again and was trying to get money. And so then he would get very mentally abusive, trying to get what he wanted so that he could go buy more drugs. And so that was a back and forth for many years.
Okay. Now, and I can understand that. I can see that. Now, like, a lot of people that have addictions in the inner city. I predict you don't live in the inner city, because in the book you said, you know, you work for a Fortune 500 company. I want to ask you a question. Like, is it different for a person that has a family member in a richer, better environment than it is for a person in the inner city? Because more money, and it makes it more accessible for them to get drugs, than more easier.
Yeah, I definitely look at I started working for a Fortune 500 company later on when I started getting myself healthy and started working and taking care of myself better. But
okay.
My husband, you know, we were never, you know, well off. We,
mm-hmm.
we, you know, middle class, nothing, you know, we were never making great money, but he was certainly making plenty of money that we weren't in a situation where I had to work when my son was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely as his business started growing and we started having more money,
mm-hmm.
the addiction got worse because there was more money to spend on drugs. And so I think that's why a lot of times you see celebrities and things get so deep, because there's no limit as to how much they can have. And so a lot of times money can be a real downfall when drug addiction is in the picture, because suddenly you have a lot more money to buy a lot more drugs and become a lot more addicted, obviously.
Now, when you used to go to family events and stuff like that, did your family members treat you differently because of his addiction?
Well, you know, for a lot of years, and this goes back to my own unhealthy patterns, it really was kept a secret within my household. So it really was only after his addiction got so bad that there was no hiding it
mm-hmm.
that family members started to find out. But I would say for the first 10 years of our marriage, I really hid it because I didn't want family members to know. I really kept hoping and believing that this was going to go away, that we married young, and part of me just really kept wanting to believe that he was eventually going to grow out of this and grow up, and I really didn't want people to know. And so I really did a good job of keeping it a secret, which just helped his addiction get stronger, because I wasn't forcing him to face consequences, because I was constantly helping to hide any problems that came up or to keep it from family members and friends. So really it wasn't until later on, when his addiction got so bad that he eventually was hospitalized at one point, that, you know, the truth really had to come out to family members. And even then I was not as honest as I could have been and tried to downplay how bad the problem was, because at that point I had hid it for so many years that I felt that I was going to also be judged. You know, crack addiction is a very, you know, it's
strong addiction.
Yeah, and not only that, but there's a big stigma attached to it. And the last thing that I wanted was for anyone to know the truth, because I felt that we would be so judged by
mm-hmm.
that, not only
mm-hmm.
my husband, but for me. And so I really worked really hard at hiding it, and that's what I think kept the addiction stronger and building, is because I didn't blow the whistle. I just kept hiding it with him.
Okay. So now, did he used to like come? Now, was there ever a time that his addiction took y'all rock bottom, and he used to come to get money from you, or he was always still making money?
No. So in the first probably about 10 years of our marriage, even though the cocaine addiction really came to the surface quite early, and I realized that my husband had an addiction, and I kept wanting to deny that and kept wanting to believe that he was going to get better. And throughout the years, as his addiction got worse, money problems started to come to the surface. And so probably about 10 years into our marriage, we really started struggling with money, because as he started making more money, he was out spending more money. And I really had no idea at that point how many credit cards we had, how much money he was spending. I really was in the dark about our finances. And it wasn't until I found out that we had far more credit cards than I knew that we were in debt, and I didn't realize that. And that's when I had to step in and start taking over the finances because we, you know, were to the point of bankruptcy. We couldn't pay our bills. And so everything really did hit bottom quickly financially. Even though it had been building, he had kept that a secret from me, and I had allowed him to take care of all the finances, believing he was, you know, obviously I was really caught up in my own denial for a really long time, and I had my head in the sand, and I wanted to believe his lies, and I wanted to hope that it was all going to go away, which it didn't. And so that's when we really started hitting a very dark time in our lives, because that's when the truth started coming out, and that's when we really started struggling financially, and he started trying to get help but struggled over years of trying to get help and not able to get clean.
So do you guys have kids?
We have one son who's now 24, mm-hmm. and, you know, obviously he lived through all of this. Now, I will say in the first decade of our marriage, mm-hmm. again, I did a really good job at hiding the truth even from our son. And so when my husband would get high and stuff, it was usually always outside of the home. So there were times when he wouldn't come home, and I'd always have an excuse for my son, and I just wanted to keep that truth from him. I wanted to believe that I could raise my son without being affected by this and that somehow everything would be okay. And so, again, you can see I was a person really living in denial and really just living in this bubble of lies. And
how did that affect your intimate life? Like, you know, going out and, you know, just being with each other, just as husband and wife, and the normal, you know, the romance, the normal things, going out and stuff like that. How did that affect that?
You know, throughout the first years of our marriage, because he certainly had his times when he struggled with the addiction, some weeks more than others. And I really was able to still, I mean, there was definitely a lot of passion and a lot of love in our marriage. That's how we ended up together. But probably within a few years of our marriage, you know, things started to struggle. Although I still very much loved my husband, and when he was clean and he would stay clean for weeks at a time, I adored the man he was, and he was still very successful and you know, we still had a lot of happy times. It was in the later years when the addiction really started taking over, and I feel like it was almost like he was completely possessed by drugs. And there came a point when I would look in my husband's eyes and I didn't recognize the man he was anymore. You know, the drugs really completely stole him away. Mm-hmm. And our marriage really, you know, the love in our marriage and the trust, it was all pretty much gone. And for, you know, several years there, you know, I can't say that my husband and I had any happiness in our marriage. There was no laughter. There was no, I mean, certainly there were intimate times because, you know, we were married and, you know, years mm-hmm. go by. And, of course, there's intimacy, but not on the level of a loving intimacy. And so in those later years, definitely as a man and wife, it was a lot more just anger and trying to figure out how we were going to survive this addiction and how, you know, I had a lot of fear attached to leaving my husband because I really was afraid if I left him that he would just end up homeless and out on the street somewhere and dead. And I had a lot of fear around that. And so, you know, in those later years of his addiction, it really was about me trying to somehow find a way to save him, to somehow save our family. I didn't want my son to watch his father die from drug addiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still held on to a lot of hope, but there was a lot of just unhealthy patterns in our life, and I didn't know how to escape it, and I didn't know how to overcome it. And it really was a time when things got so out of control that one night I came home from work and his drug dealer was outside of our home, and I ended up chasing the drug dealer throughout our neighborhood in my car. So the drug dealer took off, and I chased after him in my car.
That's
and
kind of
I was
dangerous.
Not going to let this guy go. I was ready to confront him. You know, as far as I was concerned, this was the devil destroying our life. And
you didn't fear for your life?
No, I wanted to confront this man. I had had it. I felt like he had destroyed my family, even though I understand now there wasn't only one drug dealer throughout, you know, these years. But finally, you know, I pulled up and there was a drug dealer at our house, and it just made me so sick and nauseous to know that, you know, here's my home and there's a drug dealer there. And he immediately took off in his car, and I just flipped my car back around and took after him. And eventually he pulled over to the side of the road. I swerved my car up in front of his and blocked him so he couldn't take off. And I got out of my car, his window was down, and I just started confronting him. And, you know, this is a big, you know, scary-looking tattooed guy, and but I didn't care. I just started telling him off and telling him he was never to come near my home or my husband again, that, you know, I had his license plate number. I knew where he lived, which wasn't really the truth, but I told him that, and that if he ever came around my home again, that I would call the police and have him arrested. And at first he acted like he had no idea what I was talking about, but then he eventually agreed. And with that, I got in my car. And, of course, as I pulled away, I had to push the gas pedal to the floorboard and gravel kicked up at his car. And I felt so strong in that moment. But very quickly I realized how reckless that was and how dangerous that was, and that I really didn't know what could have come from that. I mean, I have no doubt that a drug dealer carries a gun on him, and so I had no idea what could have come about that. But it was about an hour later that drug dealer sold more drugs to my husband, and that really was the night that was a turning point for me, and I realized that not only was my husband's life out of control, but my life was out of control. And I was trying to control this addiction that just had us both acting like crazy people.
So what was the first step that you got to getting your life together and which made him get his life together?
Well, that night I pulled out a journal and I really started doing some soul searching and just really started trying to figure out who I was, what I wanted with my life, and how I was going to get out of the situation. And I really came up with a detailed plan of how I was going to turn my life around. I knew that I could no longer live like this. I also knew at that moment I wasn't ready to walk out of my home financially, and I just wasn't prepared mentally to do it. But I did know that I needed to start somewhere. And so I made a plan that included journaling, meditation, exercise, eating healthy, getting my own finances in order, getting myself a job so that I wasn't financially dependent. And so I really just started putting this plan into work, and it was a course of several years, but I started to truly evolve right away, though. As soon as I started going toward my goals, I started to change, and I started to become strong. And like I said, even though it took me several years to really become the person that I really felt strong enough to walk away, throughout my getting myself healthy, my husband started making positive changes as well. Mm-hmm. As I started to get healthier and I wasn't 100% focused on what he was doing at every moment and trying to control him, and I think it also scared him to see me starting to change and get healthy and distance myself from the problems. And he started asking for help himself. And he started to talk about the fact that he needed to get help and get clean. And over the course of those next few years, we did go to the hospital several times to try and get him help. And he did fail, you know, going through that several times. But you know, finally there came a time when I realized I had to just get out of the situation, that he was stuck in this cycle and I was moving past it. And I one night just gave him an ultimatum, and I said either he was going into an inpatient treatment program and getting clean, or I was leaving, and he had to do it the next day or I was moving out. And I think he thought I was bluffing, and he said no, he wasn't ready to do that. And the next morning I packed all of my things and had family come, and we moved out of the home, my son and I.
Wow. So
yeah.
I know that probably, you know, probably would took effect to him. But let me ask you, is forgiving him now, was it part of you recovering, being able to forgive him for the things
absolutely.
He put you through?
And I think, you know, and really a lot of my growth and getting healthy myself came from learning about addiction and understanding addiction. You know, in those early years of our marriage and before I started getting myself healthy, I didn't really understand addiction. And so a lot of it, and I think this is the big mistake family members make, is that because they don't understand why addicts do what they do, they take it personally, and they believe that the addict is doing this to them and is destroying their family, and they're seeing the addict as this bad person or what they're doing is bad, when in reality, this is what addiction does. It turns them into somebody who you can't trust, somebody who steals, somebody who lies. And it has nothing to do with them not being a loving person. It has nothing to do with them not caring. It's that the drug truly takes over and becomes, you know, their brain takes on a one-track mission to seek out more drugs, and that's how the drugs work. And that's what happens to the brain. And as I learned about addiction, I was actually very easily able to forgive him, because more than anything, I just felt bad that he was stuck in the cycle and couldn't get himself out. And, you know, throughout the years, he did a lot of things that a lot of people would probably say are unforgivable, but I didn't have a problem forgiving, you know, once I really understood addiction and why he did the things he did. And so that was a huge part of, I think, his being able to get clean as well. You know, there's a lot of times people go into treatment and, you know, they go through 3 months of treatment or 4 months of treatment, and they come back, and families haven't done their own work in being able to understand and forgive. And so an addict trying to recover comes back to a home that's filled with anger and resentment and constant reminders of how they failed the family and how they failed their spouse or failed their children. And a lot of times those things can push a recovering addict back in to doing drugs, because there's so much guilt surrounding it. And so, you know, they don't see a way to ever get past all of the anger.
And you know,
so I think it's really...
All of us basically have, I mean, I'm from Harlem, so a lot of, I can understand, I really relate to you, because where I come from, an addict, you know, it's common in everybody's family, not everybody's family,
yeah.
I won't say it like that, but in a lot of people's family. But if you wanted anybody, if you wanted somebody to get something out of your book, what is it that when you want the readers to read your book, or anybody from my audience that's reading your book, what do you want them to leave with after they read that book?
I want them to, first of all, see that there is hope for an addict to get clean and live past this addiction, that it doesn't have to destroy a family. But even more importantly, that family members can make a difference. While, yes, we can't control the addiction and we can't control what the addict does, we absolutely are a part of the dynamics of that family disease of addiction. And so a lot of times the family members affect outcomes even more than they realize, or do have some control of how to take a situation and not make it as bad, or they can help an addict see, you know, another path. The family can make a difference. And more than anything, that's what I feel my book shares, is that as a wife, I was actually able to take steps that, even though my husband was addicted to crack cocaine and prescription pain pills for almost 20 years, and I really at times thought he was never going to be able to get clean, he now has been clean for almost 6 years.
That's
and
great.
So there is hope. And I can definitely look back, and my husband, you know, feels the same way, that had I not taken the steps that I took, it probably would have been a different outcome. And so the family does have more control over this than they may realize.
Okay. Can you tell people out there your website and where could they get your book at?
Yes. My website is soaringaboveco-addiction.com, and you can get the book through my website. It's also available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and pretty much anywhere you can buy books. If they don't have the book, then they can at least order the book. And it's also available on ebook, on all the ebook formats, so Kindle, Nook, on iPad, any ebook reader, it's available for that as well.
All right, and we're definitely going to make sure we put your information up on the website. I want to thank you, Ms. Lisa Espitz, for coming
Thanks
to the show.
It was
a great interview. Once again, this is DJ Big Stu. I got Ms. Lisa Espitz in the building. She's the author of Soaring Above Co-Addiction, a very good book. Make sure y'all get that, support that. And once again, Ms. Espitz, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Once again, it's Beef Stew Radio. Y'all know how we do it.
Beef Stew Radio.
Yeah, it's your man DJ Big Stew. That was real, real interesting. Y'all know how that be. We all deal with that situation one time or another. You know, a lot of people have had somebody in their family that's been addicted to drugs and that's put them through different trials and tribulations. And I think, you know, she came at it, like she said, from a middle-class perspective, and she told us what she did and how she worked through it. And, I mean, you know, I think y'all should get out there and check out the book because I think it's a good book. I read a lot of it myself, and it's actually a good book. You know what I'm saying? She's coming at it from a different perspective. Like, you know, a lot of people always look at it, yo, the hood, everybody on the drugs is in everybody's hood, man. It's not just in Harlem. It's not just in the Bronx. It's not just in Queens. It's actually even heavier in the suburbs because, you know, when a person has money and they get an addiction, it's more accessible to them. Now, a person in the ghetto, it may be more, be faster for them to get it asked for, to walk around to the next neighborhood, or if you live in certain neighborhoods in Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, or the five boroughs, you know, everybody knows you can go around the corner and get a bag of weed, or you can go up the block, and they got crack over there, and they got dope over here, and they got coke up in that building, but, you know, if you have the money, like, if you really making money, you know, it's just as easy because you can always pay that a person that's willing to go to those places for you every day. So that's what it is. Once again, I got some good news for y'all, man. I just spoke to my man, Mr. Bond. It is on the History of Harlem Hip Hop Part 3, Mr. Bond, the 007 story. That's going to be dope. And I want everybody to know this. For you, those of you cats that might, man, Mr. Bond, now, I heard a flash, heard him now. Mr. Bond is really, really history in this hip-hop game because he was the very, very, very first hardcore, to me, gangster rapper. He was talking that back then when it was the Grandmaster Flash and things. He was the one that was talking different stuff back then when he was rhyming. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of cats were dibber-dibber-dizing and, you know, they were doing their thing and there was a lot of party rap and there was a lot of fun rap. Mr. Bond was kind of like the only rapper back then that was coming at these cats real serious and hard, like, and we're going to sit down and talk about that, you know what I mean? Once again, it's your man DJ Big Stu. We in the building. You know what's the funny thing about it? K. Nicole left a bunch of records out here for me. I said, K. Nicole, I'm running late, man. You know, hit me up with some records because I'm running late, man. And she left a bunch of records out here, man, and I don't know if I like them, but I'm going to play them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in the building. Let's do it. DJ Big Stu. BeefStewRadio.com. I'm going to talk to y'all about a new thing we're doing on Extended Drinks on Russ every Sunday night. I'm going to talk to y'all about that when I get back. Like I said, once again, it's Big Stu in the building.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Keep it real, partner, give me the need. Rip to touch me, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna fight you, snap the plate. I can flip that flow, I can stick that hoe, I can get that dough, you know I'm with that joke. Ain't a thing about this shit I can't do, I haven't seen. But when it gets dark, it's like a nigga's having dreams. Oh, nightmares, the light there, to dessert, what? Got me like, everybody wants to hurt, what? Paranoid, so I strike out at whatever. Closest thing to me's gonna get it, but never. Will I, can I? Death is wrong, so I'ma keep holding on to what's left is gone. You can put that on,
my nigga boom. These other rap cats will give a nigga room.
But if it costs for me to boss my way in the door, headhunting motherfuckers, stay on the floor. Far more is what I get sick with. Far more, now all this is liquid.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Let's keep it real, partner, gifted and easy. There's a touch that don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'ma bite you.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Keep it real, partner, give to the knee. Ribs is touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snap your plate.
I thank the Lord every day that I'm blessed with the gift. The best, so unless you wanna fresh with the shit. Don't touch that, leave it alone. When you walk past the doghouse, leave it alone.
Dogs fight, dogs fight, dogs life. Scratch, shake, and hold all night. So when you hit it, start running. Cause when you hit it, I'm coming.
But I don't like drama, so I say to myself, keep focused with this rap shit and pray for the wealth. I want the money, give me the honeys with big asses. The most expensive champagne you got, big glasses.
I'm drunk, so I'm a bastard, head wide open. Begging me to stop, but at least he died hoping.
Didn't get his wish, now he's a dish for the pack. Two glowing red eyes, everything else black.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Just keep it real, partner, give to the needy. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Just keep it real, partner, give to the needy. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
When the sun is up, the gun is up on the shelf, and all the runners up are thanking me for their help. Hoping that they're not around when it gets dark outside. Sun's going down, you hear the bark outside.
Locks off the cage with the buckshot dagger. You be lucky all day, that's where your luck stops. One drop, and another, gun pops. Going through you, hit your mother.
We did it all in, I found a friend in the dark. Cause fucking with these cats, you send a friend to the mall. Many questions, no answers, stress. Try to hold my head and remember that I'm blessed.
With the curse and it gets worse, time goes by. Can't see straight, I'm so high.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Just keep it real, partner, give to the needy. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Just keep it real, partner, give to the needy. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Just keep it real, partner, give to the needy. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
I've been eating long enough now, stop being greedy. Keep it real, partner, give to the knee. Ribs are touching, so don't make me wait. Fuck around and I'm gonna bite you, snatch the plate.
I came to bring the pain, hardcore from the brain. Let's go inside my astral plane. Find out my mental, based on instrumental. Record, hate, so I can write monumental methods. I'm not the king, but niggas is decaf. I stick them for the cream, check it. Just how deep can shit get? Deep as the abyss, and rubbish is mad fish. Accept it, in your cross color, clothes you crossed over. Think I totally crossed out and crisscrossed. Who the boss, niggas get tossed to the side. And I'm the dark side of the force. Of course it's the method, man from the Wu-Tang Clan. I be hectic and coming for the headpiece, protect it, fuck it, 2 tears in a bucket, niggas want the ruckus, busting at me, bro, now bust it, styles like it's buck wow, method man on some shit, pulling niggas fouls, I'm sick, insane, crazy, driving Miss Daisy, out of fucking mind, now I got mine, I'm swayed.
Is it real, son, is it really real, son, let me know it's real, son, if it's really real, something I can feel, son, load it up and kill, one point of your steel, son, if it's really real. When I was a little stereo, stereo, I listened to some champion, champion. I always wondered, wondered when I would be the number one.
Yeah.
Now you listen to the dog and
dog
and the dog and sonorin. Then in the dungeon comes just me.
For the time by.
Brothers wanna hang with the meth, bring the rope. The only way you hang is by the neck, nigga, vote off set. Come into your project, take it as a threat. Better yet, it's a promise, coming from a vet. Want some old Vietnam shit, nigga, you can bet your bottom dollar, hey, I bomb shit. And it's gonna get even worse for the guard. It's the rule coming through, thinking niggas throw they garments. Moving on your last outform, it's the meth. In the representing, call my name in your chest. You can come test, realize you're no contest. Son, I'm the gun that went that old wild west. Quick on the draw with my hands on the floor. 9-11 with the bucket rhymes galore. Check it cause I think not when this hip hop like proper. Rhyme beat the proof while I'm drinking 90 proof. Vodka, no OJ, no straw. When you give it to me, yeah, give it to me, bro. I burn. And when you drink, have to lose straight, it's earned. I'm nothing in my chest, there's a burn. I don't need a chemical blow to pull a hoe. All I need is chemical bank to pay the rough.
Yeah. You know how we do it. DJ Biggs do. I'm in the building. I'm going to keep rocking this joint tonight. You know what I'm saying? But once again, I want to talk to y'all about the new joint we get ready to do, man. We got a new show that, well, it's actually the same show. It's an extended version of Drinks on Rust. It will now be on from 10 p.m. to 1 p.m. We got a new version of, we call Food for Soul. Food for the Soul, excuse me. You know, that's what I made a mistake. I got to correct myself. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Food for the Show, for the Soul. I'm sorry, I'm sipping on one of these drinks Russ left in the building for me. And, you know, Russ always leaves some strange, crazy drinks for me. And I thought it was a sweet drink. And I started sipping on it. And now I kind of feel a little tipsy a little bit. But anyway, just to get back to it, Food for the Soul. This show was basically baseline. It's not. I'm going to explain some of that because people want to say food for the show. They're cooking. No, we're not cooking. We're just a bunch of guys who like to eat, and we just like to eat good food. And, you know, we're going to review good food. We're going to sit down and go to different restaurants, some exotic cuisines, some Jamaican cuisines, some Italian cuisines. We're going to be speaking to different chefs, you know what I'm saying? Certain chefs are going to be giving us their recipes, and we're going to try to make their foods ourselves. And then, you know, not me, but Vic Clippers. Matter of fact, let me get to that. We got a new added version. My man Clippers, you know, he always come in. Y'all hear him talking to Russ all night. And Clippers like to bring a dish here, a dish too. So what he's going to do is he's going to be bringing certain dishes, while we get the dishes from the celebrities, or that's what you want to call them, celebrity chefs or whatever, we'll give them to Clippers. And Clippers going to try to cook them. Then we're going to come evaluate them and talk to y'all. And you know what I'm bringing? I'm just going to bring some good, good music. And that's going to be a show where you people who want to listen to some good R&B, classic R&B, like the Four Tops, the Whispers, the Stylistics, you know, a lot of good things. We got a lot of great interviews coming up for you guys, too. So, you know, just to speak about that. But that's what we're going to be bringing to you on Food for the Soul. We're going to be bringing you, you know, we're going to be talking about food while we're listening to a little bit of good classic soul. So that's what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? And Russ is always going to be there with some more drinks. So check out the website because it's going to be showing you some of the drinks and some of the things that we're going to be talking about, some of the places that we're going to be going and all that. So it's going to be a great show. You know what I'm saying? So once again, I don't want you guys to think it's just another cooking show, because we're not. We're actually just a bunch of brothers who like to eat, sit down and drink some wine while we're eating, and comment on the food that we're eating. I don't think we're wrong for that. We sit there, we want to review the food, you know. You cook it for us, we review it. We tell you if it's popping or if it's not. And we're going to be letting y'all know what the fly spots to go to, a lot of the fly spots to take the ladies to, you know, all across the world, not just in New York City and all Harlem. No, we're going to be talking about food all across the world. We're going to be reviewing restaurants and foods and different things, drinks to that nature all across the world. So make sure y'all check the show out. It comes on actually 12 o'clock to 1 p.m. because, you know, we're going to play that smooth old school music right after Drinks on Rust. So after you done listen to the hardcore, you want to go lay down. You get that wine. You might get that little midnight snack to go in the bed and just to chill out. That's when we're going to do that show, when we're going to smooth things down. Once again, new added member to that show will be my man Clippers. All right, and before that, from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m., it will be the regular Drinks on Rust show. So it's Drinks on Rust, the extended version now. That's how we call that. Drinks on Rust, the extended version now. Food for the Soul. Let's get into it, y'all.
I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down the block. I had my cut off shorts on right because it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me, bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling, baby?
U-N-I-G-Y.
Here we go.
U-N-I-G-Y.
You gotta let them know.
You ain't a bitch, you're a hoe.
Here we go.
U-N-I-G-Y. people out there with triggers ready to pull it while you trying to jump in front of the bullet. Young lady, and real bad girls are the silent type.
Yeah.
Ain't none of this work getting your face like, cause that's what happened to your homegirl, right?
Walking with nobody.
She got to wear that for life. Who you calling a bitch?
Who wanna bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever, live treacherous, all these veterans, to the death of us, me and my confidants, you shine, you feel the ambiance, y'all niggas just rhyme, by the ounce though accumulates like snow, we don't just shine, we illuminate the whole show, you feel me, factions from the other side would love to kill me, spill 3 quarts of my blood into the street, let alone the heat. Fuck him, I hate a nigga loving his life. In all possible ways, know the feds is bugging my life. Hospital days, reflecting when my man laid up. On the uptown high block, he got his side sprayed up. I saw his life slipping. This is a minor setback, yo, still in all we living. Just dream about to get back. That made him smile, though his eyes said, pray for me. I do you one better and slay these niggas faithfully. Murder is a tough thing to digest, it's a slow process. And I ain't got nothing but time. I had near brushes, not to mention 3 shots, close range, never touched me. Divine intervention, can't stop by from drinking my ties with Tata down in Nevada. Ha ha, bye bye. Word life, I dabbled in crazy way. Without rap, I was crazy straight. Potting, I'm still spending money from 88. What? I make you and your whack man fold like bad hands, roll like Monopoly. Advance, you copy me like white crystal. I gross the most at the end of the fiscal year than these niggas could wish to. The dead presidential candidate with the sprinkles in the presidential ice that'll offend you. In due time, when crime flees my mind, all sneak thieves and player haters can shine. But until then, I keep the trillion cut diamond shining brilliant. I tell you half the story, the rest you fill it in. Long as the villain win, I spend Japan yen to 10 major events. Catch me in the joint, convince my iguanas is biting. J-A-Y hyphen, controlling, manipulating. I got a good life, man. Pounds and pence, enough dollars make sense. Why you ride the bench? Catch me swinging for the fence. Dead presidents, you know. The Soviet, the unified steady flow. You already know, you light, I'm heavy roll, heavy dough, mic machete, your flow. Your paper falls slow like confetti. Mine's a steady grow, ready roll, pay 5 in it for blow. Better believe I have 1160 to show. My dough flip like Typhoon, Jay-Z the icon. Baby, you like Dawn, maybe this crystal's a change of life. Roll with the winners, heavy spinners like hit records. Rockefeller, don't get it corrected, this shit is perfected. From chip to chicks to scribbling Alexis. Naked without your gun, we taking everything you brung. We caking, you niggas is faking, we getting it done. Grind family, well connected, Jay-Z. And you fake thugs is unplugged like ATV. Got MP3, take your treasure, my pleasure. Dead president, jail, politics is your jail. Bow!
Every president to represent me. 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 I'm out for president to represent me. I'm out for presidents 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 to represent me. I'm out for every open president to represent me.
inserted. A baby's being born, same time a man is murdered. The beginning and end. As far as rap goes, it's only natural. I explain my plateau and also what defines my name. First it was nasty, but times have changed. Actually now I'm the artist, but hardcore my signs for pain. I spent time in the game, kept my mind on fame. Saw fiends shoot up and do lines of cocaine. Saw my close friend shot, flatlining my fame. That depends, carry Mac-10s to practice my aim. On rooftops, tape CD covers the trees. Line a barrel up with your weak picture that squeeze. Street scriptures for lost souls in the crossroads. To the corner thugs hustling for cars that cost dough. To the big dogs living large, taking it light. Pushing big toys, getting nice. Join your life is what you make it. Suicide, few try to take it. Belt tied around their neck and jail cells naked. Heaven and hell, rap legends, presence and spell. And of course, NAS are the letters that spell.
Life or death, my rapper.
Earth, wind, and fire, rims and tires, bulletproof glass inside is the realest driver. Planets in orbit, line them up with the stars. Tarot cards, you can see the Pharaoh Nas. Iron Mike, Messiah type, before the Christ, after the death, the last one left. Let my cash invest in stock. Came a long way from blasted, text on blocks. Went from Seiko to Rolex, owning acres. From the projects with no chips to large cake though. Dimes giving fellatio, CSA zeros. Bet my nine spent for the pesos, but what's it all worth? Can't take it with you under this earth. Rich men died and tried, but none of it worked. They just rob your grave. I'd rather be alive and paid before my numbers call, history's made. Some will fall, but I rise, thug or die. Making choices that determine my future under the sky. To rob, steal, or kill, I'm wondering why. It's a dirty game. Is any man worthy of fame? Much success to you, even if you wish me the opposite. Sooner or later, we'll all see who the prophet is.
Not like life or death, my rapper. My poetry is deep, I never felt. Not like half man, half amazing.
Come on.
No doubt. Not like life or death, my rapper.
Sex to a nympho, but nothing sweet. I'm like beasts busting heat through your windows. I'm like a street sweeper, green leaf reaper. Like Greeks in Egypt, learning something deep from their teachers. I'm like crime, like your nine. Your man you would die for, always got you. I'm like pop, dude, you would cry for. I'm like a whole lot of loot. I'm like Chris money, corporate accounts from a rich company. I'm like ecstasy for ladies. I'm like all races combined in one man. Like the 99 summer jam, bulletproof, I'm a man. I'm like being locked down around new faces, and none of them fam. I'm the feeling of a millionaire spending 100 grand. I'm a poor man's dream, a thug poet. Live it and I write it down and I watch it blow up. Y'all know what I'm like, y'all play it in your system every night now.
Not like life or death, I'm a rebel. My poetry is deep, I never felt. Not like half man, half amazing. No doubt. Not like life or death, I'm a rebel.
Play Monopoly with real cash. Me and Biggie and the models be shaking Nate to Diddy ass and Parada be something you cats got to see and the watches be all types of shapes and stones. Being broke is childish and I'm quite grown. Run up in the club with the ice on, me and Pice on. Scope to spot out, see something nice and I'm gone. You cats is home screaming the fights on. I'm in the 1500 seats watching Tyson. Same night, same fight. But one of us cats ain't playing right. I let you tell it. People, place yourselves in the shoes of two felons and tell me you won't fall every chance you get. At any chance you hit, we live for the moment. Makes sense, don't it? Now make dollars. Cats pop bottles, bone chicks that favor our dollars. Then rack up frequent flight mileage.
Magnums, why jigging back something? Watch platinum, got jet lag from flights back and forth, pop corks are the best grapes, make the best CDs and the best tapes. Don't forget the vinyl, take girls, break spinals. Biggie B, Richie like Lionel. Shit, you seen the Jesus, dip the H classes, ice project off light, chick glasses, blinding broke asses. Even got rocks in the beard, mustaches, rock top fashion. Ain't shit changed, except the number after the dot on the range. Way niggas look at me now, kinda strange. I hate y'all too, rather be in Caribbean sands with Rachel. It's unreal, out the blue, Frank White got sex appeal. Bitches used to go ill, still so still. Trying to see 5 mil off the single, for real. You ain't phasing the amazing, while your gun's raising, mine is blazing. See you on, see me on, talking the sweetness. Take it for weakness, elite quick. Rocka, rocka, fella, bad boy, collabo, two MCs with Mad Dog, you're long, you're long.
Stay full, nigga, skip the ball, cause we mad at doors. Snatch the P89s that we pack in the drawers, and we clap the doors of your Acuras. Snap like cameras on amateurs. Make you all dance, hold a hammer to yours. Jigging big rock ice, no cracks and flaws. Everybody got a part to play, back to yours. Run up in your crib now, crack your doors. Watch the real players live, it's a habit to floss. Play the charts like the Beatles, y'all adapted lost. And toast Chris Dale on behalf of y'all. Too bad for y'all, ain't too many as bad as yours. Truly do we keep laughing, y'all. Little bastard, y'all.
We hit makers with acres, road shakers in Vegas. You can't break us, lost chips on Lakers. Gassed off Shaq, country house, tennis courts and horseback. Ride and decide and crack crab or lobster. Who say monsters don't prosper? Niggas is actors, niggas deserve Oscars. Me, I'm critically acclaimed. Slug past your brain, reminisce on dames who Coochie used to sing when we rock house pieces and puffy Gucci links. Now we buy homes in unfamiliar places. Tito smile every time we see our faces. Cases catch more than outfield doors. Half these rapping cats ain't seen war, couldn't score if they had point gain. They lame, speak my name, I make them dash like Dame.
You got it going on. What? 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 You got it going on.
You wanna be this queen bee, but you can't be. That's why you're mad at me. crush you in the studio with me. Don't they know I'm trying to set you continuously? Full of high power, cool, make you jump ship. See who you with, run with the Rockefeller crew. Trick you for the cheese, tear your boom up. Spread an ill rumor, make you flip on little Z's. Twist you backwards, get the dough from your platinum hit. Rock little Kim hats and shit. I get down and dirty for the dough, I got love. And Big know it, he must got the studio bug. Probably, as we speak, he's on his way up the street with the mafia thugs and all types of heat. But I ain't trying to beef, I'm just trying to eat. And horizontally, the way I hold my eye is sweet. And them my niggas, but I like the sound. Little Kim and Jigga sound like Jigga.
Before they threw Mary J. Blige on it. Once again, you're listening to Beef Stew Radio. I am your man, DJ Big Stew. I had Miss Lisa Espich on the show, the author of Soaring Above Coke Addiction. It was a good interview, you know. She did her thing. Once again, I want y'all to know I will be interviewing Mr. Bond for the History of Hip Hop Part 3. Also, I got my man Tinky T. He's going to be in the History of Hip Hop Part 4. Yo, it's going down. I'm bringing it, yo. We kicked it off with Ray Vaughn, and we're going to keep it going. We're going to be bringing the history of Harlem hip hop. We're going to be bringing you all of the dudes that's coming out. They're going to be telling their stories, and you're going to find out the real deal. Remember, I did it first. Your man DJ Big Stu, I did it first. Don't let nobody try to tell you I did it first. No, these cats know. I brought you the history of Harlem hip hop first. Me and my man Kevin get his cook on, broke it down to you about Clinton Center. Then I brought you the exclusive with Ray Vaughn. Now I'm going to bring you an exclusive with Mr. Vaughn 007. It is what it is. And then I'm going to bring my man Tanky T, DJ Dollar Bill, Tay JT, talk about it like that. And I got more. And also I've been speaking to, just to get out to old school hip hop period, I've been speaking to my man JDL. So we're going to make that work out from the Cold Crush Brothers. We're going to get all this going down. We're going to bring out history. We're going to let it know. We're going to let the youngers know about real, true hip-hop history. That's what we're going to do. I'm so hyped. Crazy. Beef Stew Radio, we blowing up. Let's do it.
What's the deal, Playboy? Just rest your soul. I'll be holding it down, yo. Still love the dough. Got these ladies on the cock now. You know how we go. Got the whole world on lockdown. You know how we flow. Don't worry about Brooklyn. I continue to flame. The four world with amnesia won't forget your name. You held it down long enough. Let me take those reins. And just like the spirit of the commission remains, niggas cross the T's and dot the I's. Now that I got too popular, the cops and fives. I'm taking this rap shit serious. Till my demise, J shit's like cake mix. Watch me rise. Basics in the basement. Wasted. Asking my dog for advice. And when he can't say shit, my hatred is few. Just give me a sign. And I let the world know that the city is mine. What?
I bestow upon you all my happiness. I will grant you peace of mind and deliver unto you all my love.
Oh,
on to the best flip, yeah. And I, oh, I, yeah, hope that you care, cause I'm a man who'll always be there. I'm not a man to play around, baby, cause the one night stand is really bad. From the first impression, you don't seem to be like that, cause there's no need to check, so there'll be plenty of time for that. From the subway to my home, and it's ringing off my phone. When you're feeling all alone, all you gotta do is just call me, call me.
back, look like Lack, sitting on 28. Nah, you can't get her if you ain't got plenty cake. ACL, Georgia, booties look like this size. 23 waist, pretty face, big size.
I can do big,
black and beat vibes, baby.
Even if you were broke, my love, don't cost a thing. Think I wanna drive you, then I don't. If I wanna close, I got my own. Even if you were broke, my love, don't cost a thing.
the party, said it's gonna be quick. Cause I'ma try to push, I tell him push the ribbon. Cause when it's over, straight parking lot, pimping. Once I find my keys to the ride, hit the spot around 11:45. Everybody know that's when it gets hot. Tonight I'm gonna find a little shorty for a play at a top, yeah. Girl for me, yeah. My man, yeah. Knows how to turn me on. Brings me from the night to the early morn. What you want? Hair's live and nails done. Look till she got one. That's the kind I like.
Yo, once again, I wanted to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Miss Lisa Espich for coming in, for coming in and talking about her book, Soaring Above Co-Addiction. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all go to that. She told y'all where to get that at Barnes & Noble's and her website, Soaring Over Addiction, SoaringAboveAddiction.com. You know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all go tune into that. Make sure y'all go to the Facebook page, Beef Stew Radio, and hit the like button, man. And also follow us on Twitter, Twitter, http://twitter.com/beefstewradio. Make sure you always tune in to us on Blog Talk Radio. And make sure, not this Sunday, but April 1st, you tune into the first episode of Food for the Soul. Remember, once again, it's a food review show. Once again, a food review show. It's a show about three brothers sipping on some drinks, eating some good food, talking some good convo, listening to some good music, and at the same time rating the food while we doing that. So that's what it's going to be about. So make sure you tune into that. It's going to be a real hot show. We're going to be eating a lot of exotic, exquisite, healthy food, healthy drinks. We're going to be telling you a lot of things, what to do, and you know how to keep yourself healthy and all that. That's what it's about. Well, I want to thank everybody for being down. Once again, it's your man, DJ Big Stu. I'm in the building, and
Beef Stew Radio.